Infowars.com/show.
Folks, some interesting things are happening with the planned Artemis launch, the moon mission, now scheduled to launch right about now, right around now. Crew's keeping an eye on it, and they're like, well, they just changed the clock to 20 minutes. Well, now it's 10 minutes. Now we're looking at it 2 minutes. 2 minutes and 4 seconds. Artemis 2 launch, T-minus 2 minutes. Of course, my guest is Tiffany Cianci. Tiffany, we're going to take a... How you feel about taking a minute here to... celebrate America doing something that I'm not going to complain about. The American government able to do something. Who's going to complain about shooting a rocket to the moon? Somebody, I'm sure. But hey, we can still achieve great things, can't we, Tiff?
You know, I've spent the entire week watching viral videos about it being fireball season. So I'll take anything good in space right now. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, and I don't know. I saw some people make statements today. I didn't realize there's an Australian senator who said that, you know, aliens are here, but of course they're so many hours ahead. It was April 1st for them, so April Fool's Day, I guess, is confusing people. Let's keep the video up.
Gates, though?
All right, yeah, we're gonna pull up the site here so we can watch it launch in T-minus 1 minute and 4 seconds. So yeah, what are your thoughts on this, Tiffany? I mean, I feel like any other time period, there'd be a great, you know, media focus on this. This is a big deal. I mean, we're going back to the moon for the first time in like 40 years or more. But it's like, I didn't even know it was happening until earlier today. This is just what happens, I guess.
I feel like this could have been such an opportunity for just unifying moment of American exceptionalism. And unfortunately, we've been doing so many things recently that have undermined generally the working class belief system in American exceptionalism and their ability to participate in that promise, that we've missed an opportunity here because of so many promises that have been broken. So I love the idea of taking a minute. I love the idea of seeing us go back to the moon. I wish we could have done it under better circumstances with more promise and more hope for everybody else.
30 seconds to launch. Looks like they're firing the engines now. Full screen, it guys.
Booster ignition and lift off. The crew of Artemis 2 now bound for the moon. Humanity's next great voyage begins.
The vibrations are cutting the signal off from the cameras close by there.
Good roll pitch.
Okay.
Oh man, I would love.
Roll pitch.
Well, I'd love to just see one of these.
Houston now controlling the flight of integrity on the Artemis 2 mission around the moon.
I'm surprised we don't have a live view from inside the cockpit.
You know, there was a cockpit view earlier. They're obviously not showing it now, but they were. You could see the big screens and everything. Yeah, it seems like we should be able to have an inside view. That is pretty incredible. What do you think? Well, if they actually live stream their entire trip to and around the moon, will people believe it, Tiffany? That's the answer. Do we have the ability to believe our government is capable of such things? Or is this all a flat earth psyop by NASA? Tiffany, thoughts?
You know, honestly, if so many conspiracy theories hadn't been proven true this year, I could give you a solid answer on that.
Right. Right. Well, it's...
But I imagine we're going to give people lots of work to do, and we're going to see a whole lot of creators getting a lot of content out of this.
Yeah, hopefully so. Man, it really is an amazing sight. And
yeah.
So far, so good. Knock on wood, but, you know,
I'm holding my breath. I have second grade trauma.
I know. I know. That's what I was, but usually, you know, well, I don't even want to say it, but so far, so good. We'll just say that.
I'm not saying it. You're not saying it.
They're approaching the firmament.
See them get up there, and it's going to be great.
they're approaching the firmament. They're about to break through the ice wall and make their way back to Earth, because space is fake and we all know it. I'm not supposed to say that. Sorry, the crew's telling me I'm not supposed to say that.
We are not supposed to say that. I've been told that as well.
Man.
So we're going to see boosters separate here. Why did the camera just move?
What a...
Confirmed separation.
Man, what an experience.
Why aren't we seeing the separation?
Oh, there's the
separation. Okay.
They didn't show the separation. That's the coolest part.
No, they pan the camera away.
We got to see a couple of big fat tourists instead.
Performance nominal, upper stage RCS ready.
Wow, so there you go.
Copy all. What is that?
That I think that was a shot from the actual shuttle itself.
Integrity, SM.
Seemed like it.
Complete.
Now, I wonder, so obviously this is a NASA launch. I wonder if how much SpaceX is involved. I wonder if those boosters are the self-landing boosters or if they're just going to get dumped in the ocean like the shuttle's system was.
Artemis boosters are really, really large, so I don't know if they're the re-land ones. I haven't gotten to, I didn't know because they didn't really announce this was happening very well.
I know, that's
the thing. I didn't do any research to get ready for this.
Wow.
Okay, so that's moving. That's good, I think.
Wow, that looks incredible. Oh, and then it looks like another stage deployment there.
Uh-huh.
All right, folks. Okay. Well, there you just saw it live, the live launch of Artemis in the first moon mission since, I guess, the 70s, right?
That's what they tell us.
It's like, you're an expert on this, right, Tiffany? When was the last time when... Wow. No, it's really, that is...
All I know is I've heard that they could call back on a landline live.
Right. Well, there
seems
is
weird.
That. Well, we'll
that
see.
That seems really weird given the delays we know are likely from the moon. But that's what they told me. So here I am.
Dangerous thoughts you're having there. Okay. Okay. According to the White House, for the first time in over 50 years, America is going back to the moon. Artemis 2. Among the most powerful rockets ever built, is launching our brave astronauts farther into deep space than any human has ever gone. We are winning. Well, I guess we're winning the battle against gravity. Everything else not going so well for us. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's probably accurate. Okay, we'll take it. I'll take a win. A win is a win.
A win is a win. A win is a win. And hey, they're just proving that if things go bad here, maybe there is a way off this godforsaken planet once and for all. Maybe we'll all go live on the moon one day.
I am really surprised we don't have a cockpit image, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
interesting.
That's very odd to me.
Well, we'll start the list.
We always have cockpit images from the SpaceX flights and from the Blue Origin flights.
True. I wonder if... wonder if there's not broadcasting them and if we'll see it a little bit later. Okay, well, that was well worth it.
Yeah, maybe they'll release it later.
That was well worth it. That's very exciting, and it's good to
very
see Americans
exciting.
Come together. You know, I was talking to my father-in-law a long time ago. We were all sitting around and sort of talking about, like, if you had a time machine, where would you go back to? And his answer was, I wish I could have been a part of the space program, right? Because he was a little kid at the time. But, the way he described, like, it's just... thousands of people, the whole nation, really, it felt like all came together and all that energy and all that effort went into this one thing. And then there's this one little canister on top of this tower sized rocket. And it's just like there's something beautiful about all this cooperation to do something, you know, brilliant and amazing. And it'd be nice to recapture some of that. It feels like we've lost everything about that, the cooperation, the cohesiveness, the reaching for the stars. I mean, all of that has been just degraded and destroyed over time. It'd be nice to recapture that feeling once again, Tiffany.
I can't agree with you more. You know, my big thing is bridging the divide. I preach constantly that we have 93% of our values in common with the people we think we have the least in common with. We have so much that should be uniting us right now. So much. And instead, we allow ourselves to be divided by a handful of billionaires that want to keep us where we are, not trusting one another and for some reason trusting them with everything.
No. It's
I'd much rather trust my neighbors.
Yeah, it's really inexplicable how they've pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. It's, you know what it is, right? You know the secret to how they pulled this off. It's the pink sweaters. Bill Gates put on a pink sweater and suddenly nobody thinks he's up to no good. It's like crazy, but it legitimately is like Larry Fink and Bill Gates. They put on pink sweaters when they do, media appearances, and suddenly people think that they love us. They're just spraying particles in the air to block out the sun because they care so much about you. It's like, how did we ever fall for any of this crap?
Yeah, I feel like people are falling for less and less of it, though, and that gives us an opportunity for unity.
It does. And again, it's interesting that you have everything that you're describing, I mean, just the pesticide, the relentless push to legalize killing you with pesticides, I think is one way to put it. And on the same day, I guess this was from a week ago, first day I saw it, 2026 Dirty Dozen produce, nearly 100% test positive for pesticides, including forever chemicals. Leafy greens such as spinach and perennial kid favorites such as strawberries and grapes held the highest level of potentially harmful pesticide residues based on government tests, according to the 2026 Shopper's Guide to Pesticides and Produce. Nectarines, peaches, cherries, apples, blackberries, pears, potatoes, and blueberries filled out this year's Dirty Dozen, the most pesticide-laden fruits and vegetables, according to the report released Tuesday by the Environmental Working Group, or EWG, a health advocacy organization. And of course, pesticides, they're not going to be removed with a little splash of water from your sink, right? I mean, these pesticides are extremely damaging. They know that they're damaging. And again, this is sort of the foreknowledge, you know, condemning thing about this is if they didn't know that their product causes cancer, then they wouldn't fake the tests that you were describing about glyphosate being safe. So they did the same thing with atrazine. They knew atrazine would affect people's hormones. They knew it could, you know, affect wildlife everywhere. They deliberately went out and hid that information and lobbied the government to not have to provide that information. That is a guilty conscience. That's evidence of foreknowledge. What they're doing is not an accident. It's not a unfortunate side effect of just good business. They are literally deliberately doing things that hurt us. I think that's an important point that not everybody grasps.
You know, we saw the same thing with DuPont. And if anyone's seen the movie Dark Water, then we all know that DuPont did the same thing with Teflon. They knew it was killing the women on the line. It was causing birth defects. It was causing cancers. They were leaching it down into water supplies that were killing entire farms of cattle and then the farmers. And they knew. And they told the government it was safe. And they buried it in reports and thought they could ride it out long enough to avoid any liability. And we're just seeing the exact same playbook. Wash, rinse, repeat. You know, American farmers, they have it hard enough. American farmers, we're seeing American farms go out of business at a rate we've never seen before in American history. We are seeing generations of new farmers that know that there's no future refusing to pick up the shovel, genuinely. Yeah. Because they know that right now, four companies, four international, non-American monopolies have consolidated all of the farming supply chain into a vertical that they control. And as long as they know what you're going to be paid for your crop, they can maximize extorting every single penny from you so that you never move ahead. Right now, farmers are making the equivalent of the exact same price they were getting in like 1986 for their crops. Their crops have gone down since the 90s.
And of course,
yet the companies are posting record profits.
Yeah.
These international, non-American companies that make their money off of the backs of the exceptionalism of our American farmers that serve American mouths, American children, American schools, Americans. And these international monopolies are exploiting them. They are extorting them. They are making sure that they never, ever can see its success. And then they're rolling up the farmland that does fail, buying it for pennies on the dollar and consolidating that into their verticals. And yep. Selling off the water rights to data centers.
Oh, my God.
It's vulgar.
That is a whole other can of worms, and I do want to get into that because that's extremely important right now because we still have a chance to stop this stuff from coming into fruition. They're trying to very quietly install these data centers everywhere, and it literally takes all of our water and the entire purpose of them. I mean, they're building prison camps, essentially. That's what's happening. So we got to get to that. But when it comes to glyphosate and the pesticides, you know, what strikes me is that we have all of this new technology with AI and laser. And of course, I'm sure you've seen and we've played on here the, you know, examples of prototypes where you got a big machine that just scans plants and zaps each little. What they're doing by forcing pesticides and by demanding people use pesticides and by genetically engineering food so that it requires pesticides is they're preventing any sort of novel invention, any sort of change in operation that. Typically, like this is how we arrive on a better technology, more efficient, you know, strategy is, hey, one thing we were doing isn't working so well. We got to come up with something new. But they're basically preventing that new thing from ever occurring by forcing pesticides to be the one thing that you can use to get rid of, you know, bugs and things that eat plants. So
And they couldn't do it if American farmers didn't need farm bills and bailouts. And all of the subsidies that we're giving to American farmers are being lobbied for by these multinational conglomerates, these monopolies. And they're tying the subsidies we give our farmers to forced use of that money to buy pesticides.
Right.
Farmers don't want to use this money for pesticides. Farmers would love to do more organic farming. They would love to do more regenerative farming. They would love to take care of our soil and love to take care of our children with healthy food. And instead, to survive as a farm, these corporations have forced through their will, through our government, through lobbying, to make it so any money that we subsidize farmers with is tied directly to handing it back to them.
Yep.
Either through their GMO seeds that are Roundup ready or the forced use of Roundup and glyphosate. You know, a huge percentage of glyphosate that's used in America is being forced used as a desiccant. Yeah. If you don't know what that means, it means they spray it on wheat and it dries it out faster. You know how much time it saves? 3 days. 3 days. It saves 3 days.
Yeah,
and because it's tied to forced use in subsidies, our farmers are spraying it on every grain of wheat that comes out of the ground in America. And that's why we have organic bread, right? Like Dave's, that's supposed to be organic bread that's not filled with pesticides, that has the highest instance of glyphosate in a recent study of any bread brand.
Whoa. Now, explain that to people, because I remember learning this and like having to read it a couple times. You're like, there's no way I'm getting this right. Because we think pesticides, we think, okay, well, there's bugs or there's weeds that are destroy the crop, so you got to take care of them. This is after the crops have grown, after they've been harvested, they then desiccate it, which means drying out, by using the pesticide. So it's total. I mean, is this necessary? I feel like I'm not, you know.
No, it's not.
I would think not.
It's not necessary at all. It would not be in use the way that it is were it not that these four corporations control our farmers by controlling every step and every penny they get. And they've forced it to a point where those 3 days matter enough that the subsidies force them to use this as a desiccant. And it creates a constant stream of income for Bayer Monsanto, in particular, their agricultural division, that also creates a constant stream of income for their ready GMO seeds that work best using it as a desiccant. And as a result, we end up with sick farmers and sick children and a sick population where we have out of control chronic disease and we refuse to do anything that actually fixes it. Because if we do anything that actually fixes it, it hurts a mega corporation that made record profits this year, bringing in $100 billion while our farmers went bankrupt at unprecedented rates. It's appalling.
It is. It's absolutely appalling. It's unnecessary. It's beyond thievery. I was going to say it's just naked thievery, but no, it's thievery, but the thief stabs you on his way out. I mean, they're actually hurting us. So it's not even just that the money is the big issue. It's the money on top of the widespread cancer that's obviously killing tons of farmers. It's just, this is so ridiculous. What can we do to fight back against this? Obviously, Cory Booker seems to be leading the charge on this. I mean, how legitimate do you think his push is? And like, how likely do you think it is that this actually has a tangible effect?
Right now, I can say 98% of Americans support a private right of action to be able to sue when a pesticide injures a farmer or an American.
Right.
98% of America wants this. Now, the only way we're going to push it through is if we can get bipartisan sponsorship. And the Farm Bill is going to be headed to the Senate very, very soon. We need co-sponsors in the Senate. We also have the No Glyphosate Immunity Act in the House that is co-sponsored by Ro Khanna, Thomas Massey, Representative Luna, and a host of others, right? So we have these two bills that can be reconciled on the cross. We also are calling on everybody to meet us in D.C. on April 27th. I'm going to be there. There's a whole bunch of creators that are going to be there. There's going to be a rally on the Supreme Court steps. We're all going to be speaking. We're all going to be calling all day long. But right now, in three states in America, as of today, in Kentucky, North Dakota, and Georgia, farmers that are dying because of Bayer Monsanto can no longer sue them. Without codifying this bill, this private right of action that Cory Booker introduced, they never will. But we can restore that capability in the federal courts by passing this bill that 98% of Americans support.
Yeah. And again, this is somewhere
where... Don't worry, though. We can get through a TikTok ban on 3 days' notice. Don't worry. We can get through funding for our allies on a day's notice. I would love to see us actually pass something for the American people. That would be great.
No, it's almost an inverted relationship between the desires of the American people and what the government is willing to do. Iran war, deeply unpopular, everybody hates it, doesn't matter, we're doing it anyway for as long as necessary to achieve whatever
Which,
the hell.
Which, by the way, has increased fertilizer costs by 48% in the United States in 3 weeks at planting season. We're in planting season right now, and our farmers just saw a 48% increase. 48% increase. How much more can we ask them to bear?
It's an interesting choice of words. How much can we ask them to bear, Monsanto? But you're exactly right. I didn't even think about that. The fertilizer holdup is just another, another attack on farmers on top of everything else. I didn't even think about that in relation to the to what's going on with Bayer Monsanto. Yeah, they're getting raked over the coals, absolutely, and it's these big multinational corporations that are getting bailed out. It really is despicable. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons not to vote for Republicans these days. Obviously, the Iran war is one of them. If the Democrats are a party saying, hey, we're going to get poison out of your food and water, might be a good reason to vote for him. It might actually benefit us a little bit. And it's another place where Republicans should be the champions, but they have willingly abandoned the field for the Democrats to take it over. That's their fault. If they don't want people voting Democrat, then they should champion this stuff. Obviously, Thomas Massie is, and he's being kicked out of the GOP. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, I believe that this is a unifying issue. This should not be a partisan issue. There's nothing partisan about this. We want healthy children. We will not have an American population of children to be our next generation of excellence if we're making them all chronically sick. There is a reason they just increased the age for which you can serve in the military. It's because we have so many sick children that we won't have enough in the instance of a need for a draft to actually draft enough soldiers. So they've increased it to 42.
God,
we don't have enough qualifying children to send to war, so they've increased it because our kids are too sick. But by all means, let's give them some more glyphosate and let's ban their ability to sue the company that's killing our farmers and our kids. Totally fine.
And that's not even getting
it. We have to stand together.
And this is just like the most like apparent stuff where it's just like, okay, this guy used Roundup every day for 5 years and he got cancer in the place where he held the can or whatever. Like, you know, it's just like very obvious where it came from. But when you think about the other pesticides like atrazine and the classic meme of, you know, they're turning the freaking frogs gay. I mean, there's subtle damage to humans that are being done, you know, that pesticides do to humans that you can't even really tell, you know, what effect it's having. It's just sort of after a couple generations, everybody's sick and stupid, and this is why. So, like, the danger of this is so much more even than just the cancer stuff. That's just the most apparent and horrifying effects, and that's what they're trying to conceal.
Correct. Correct. And there are many, many new pesticides. Right now, there was also a recent study that looked at how many of the required by law pesticides were actually labeling cancer risks on their bottles that were required by our EPA to put it there. And it was like 1.6%.
Well, they don't have
to
follow the
law. We don't enforce our laws against corporations. We only enforce them against everyday Americans, and it's exhausting.
It really is. So it's good to see Cory Booker doing this. I would love some Republicans to jump on this with him. What else can we do? We have about a minute left. Of course, people can follow my guest, Tiffany Cianci, at The Vino Mom on X. Her website is tiffanycianci.com. In the last minute, what do people need to know about what's happening right now?
The answer is, if you're in the D.C. metro area or you want to jump on a train on the Eastern Seaboard, come meet us on April 27th at Supreme Court steps. We'll be there at 9 a.m. and all day long. You guys can be calling and contacting your senators, your representatives. We need to get co-sponsorship for both of these bills in the House and the Senate. We need to make it known in every state in the United States that you will not tolerate a state initiative. If you are in Tennessee, if you are in any of the Farm Belt states, you need to be contacting your legislators now and getting ahead of what they're trying to do to your children and your farmers, because they're not for sale. You need to say that no on pesticide immunity, period.
I think April 27th needs to be the American version of what the Europeans have been doing. I think you need a bunch of farmers bringing tractors full of manure to drop on the steps of Congress. Maybe that will get through. April 27th, the big protest. We need this for the survival of our nation and our children. Thank you, Tiffany, so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric?
supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.